Welcome to Sidebar with Sarah Bell. I'm Sarah Bell, and I'm here with my good friend, Michael Kelly.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We were talking about talking shit. We weren't really talking shit.
No.
But it is probably my favorite pastime. I really have gotten into, like, people watching, because it's like just personal shit talking in my head from a distance.
I love shit talking. I absolutely love it. You can look me up to talk shit on anybody, even if people I don't know. I love hearing about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, do tell.
Me too.
If you have nothing nice to say, come sit next to me.
I've been talking a lot of shit on Taylor Swift this week. Happy Super Bowl, everybody. Go. Who won?
The Chiefs won.
The Chiefs won.
Yeah.
Boo.
You could have still said go birds.
Go birds. And a go birds to you all. Fine go birds to everyone out there listening.
Yeah, I couldn't. I kept, like, yelling at the TV last night. They cut to Taylor every time they made a play, and I was about to throw my phone at my TV.
I didn't even watch.
Oh, nice.
I saw the second quarter and then the halftime show.
Oh, what'd you think of Usher?
I thought it was great.
I thought Usher was great.
Was it good? I almost was going to tune in for Usher, but then I kind of forgot entirely about the game. There's a lot of Drag Race right now.
So I will.
I've been very busy.
That's our real sports.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to see these football players tuck their dick in the balls into their asshole.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I genuinely would. I'm attracted to all of them.
Yeah, then do a Lady Gaga medley at brunch.
I felt like something was going on with the audio at the game, though, because, like, every single person that was singing was off key and flat. Post Malone was terrible. He sang the national anthem.
Really?
No. What's the other one?
The other Post Malone.
Say, Can You See? Is that the national anthem?
Yeah.
I'm going to sound like a fucking idiot.
No, it's a national anthem.
No, I guess maybe Reba McEntire sang the national anthem.
Oh, good for
but
her.
Post Malone sang something. I don't even, it was so bad. Look up what Post Malone sang, because I sound like a fucking idiot. And let's start this from the top.
America the Beautiful? That's usually the other one they...
Yeah, that's the one.
He sang America the Beautiful?
I don't know. They either one of them sang either one. But it was just really bad. They were just off key. It didn't sound like anybody was on key. Alicia Keys sounded like she was off key.
Did they sing, like, would Always Be My Boo? Is that the song they did?
You will always be my... Oh!
Did they do My Way? Did he do his, like, original single?
No, I don't know. It's like one of those things where they play, like, 20 seconds of every song they ever had. But...
Yeah, Post Malone did America the Beautiful.
Yeah, was bad.
I don't even know what he sounds like. I couldn't even tell you a Post Malone.
I just don't understand why you would have somebody who's not, like, a vocalist sing in that capacity.
I guess he's not a vocalist. Is he?
I mean, he's like a rapper and a singer. Like, he's not a full on. He's not Adele. You know what I mean? He's not Sam Smith. He's not known for his vocals. He's known for his music.
Right, right. Or what's that other guy? The one I think Taylor Swift dated him.
That's everybody.
Sounds like such an old person. I was like, what's that one kid's name?
Oh, did I didn't even know America.
John
Beautiful.
Mayer date Taylor Swift?
John Mayer did. Because she write a song. I don't know all her songs are about.
I'm only intimately familiar with John Mayer's dating life when it comes to Jessica Simpson,
and Jennifer
only
because
she. Oh, did he date her too? That's right, he did. Yeah, okay. No, Jessica Simpson, though. She went.
I'm so shocked that Drew knows anything about this conversation.
About John Mayer. Yeah. John Mayer's dating
him. He plays guitar, so.
That's
why I hear about him.
He's also, like, apparently a lunatic. Like,
I'm sure.
This is now a podcast about Jessica Simpson and her book, but her book is really good. I highly recommend reading it. And she, I forget what chapter it is, but she talks about their relationship and how he was too weird for her. And she was like, well, this is fine, I guess, but no, not really. But he, like, bonded with her dad and became really close friends with her dad and would just show up to her parents' house and not tell her. So she would go over. I think it was, like, her dad's birthday, and she and her then-boyfriend, now husband, were going over to this birthday celebration, and, like, they're walking in and, like, John Mayer's just there, like, shoeless, playing acoustic guitar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a lunatic. I mean, could you imagine, like, you're... with your new partner and you're...
Well, I don't have a dad, so that would be crazy.
That'd be even, yeah. That'd be even weird.
If I walked into a living room and one of my ex-boyfriends was hanging out with my dad, that would be like, I guess I'm in hell, you know?
Oh, man. I guess I should have gotten those carbon monoxide detectors checked at the house, because...
I'm like, did I take acid today? I totally forgot. No, that's insane. Yeah. Also, Jessica Simpson's kind of crazy, isn't she?
I think she's just one of those like
ditzy.
Well, I think everyone just kind of I don't know that, you know, her reality show career didn't really do her a lot of favors as far as
She had that moment where she was like, "Is it chicken or is it fish?"
Oh yeah, it was like chicken of the sea.
It's chicken of the sea is the name of the tuna fish.
Mm-hmm.
Which I will say, everyone made fun of her a lot. Why would it be called chicken of the sea?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's confusing. Why would you have something on the can that says chicken when it's tuna?
It's like one of those things, I think, in the 90s where they tried to, you know, when people were all switching to, like, white meat, so because it was healthier, lower in fat, so they were trying to, like, market pork that way to, like, the other white meat. Mm-hmm. And tuna, it's like chicken, but it's affordable. Yeah, it's sort of one of those...
well, that charges. Solves everything.
There we go. Did it.
Learn something new every day.
We're not even 5 minutes in and we're already solving problems.
I love the 90s.
No, I think she's just kind of like, you know, she's considered to be an idiot in the way that people love to look at women and just assume that they're idiots.
That's
true. She was also a child who grew up in, you know, as a star and had to be the breadwinner of her family. So, you know.
Yeah, she's an interesting one because I feel like she was like... she was always kind of sexualized. She was never like the young, maybe I'm wrong, but like all those other girls around that time that were like pop stars, like they were kid stars that transitioned into being like a female adult pop star. So they went through this like period of like, are we allowed to be sexualizing this person? But I feel like something with Jessica Simpson, she was just hot from the very beginning. Like, I don't remember her going through that period. It was like Daisy Dukes right from the beginning. Like, she was just like, okay, she's hot.
Well, she was always portrayed as like the reverse Britney Spears, like where you had Britney Spears and Christina who were, you know, very sexual and provocative. And she was, her whole image was supposed to be like, well, what about the good girls? And, you know, what about the girl, you know, Christian girls?
Yeah, she's like the girl next door, but the one you wanted to fuck.
Right, exactly. Yeah, precisely.
That's what girl next door means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what it means.
So she was supposed to be that, you know, like so someone that the good girls could look to and idolize as opposed to just necessarily being very sexual and having that be...
Yeah,
why you're
I just feel like I remember her being like hot from the jump.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and she's hot now.
Yeah, I think she's hot. What's up, Jessica?
Yeah, I know you're listening. I know you're a big fan. You're always tweeting about.
I'll simp for Simpson. wait, speaking of celebrities, I wanted to have you on to talk about this. Well, okay, so this is actually funny. I said to my friend, I was like, you know, the Impracticals, Jokers, Eric Andre, Cruz. And they're like, wait a second. What the F did you just say? Like, it didn't, whatever I said explaining what you did it like almost seemed like I was fake making it up. But tell us, like, wait. So, yeah, it was the Impractical Jokers, Eric Andre, Cruz.
Yeah, that's it sure was. So, I, for context, so I am a color commentator, announcer. / announcer for Awful Wrestling, which is based here in Philadelphia. We are a comedy wrestling troupe that sort of emulates the golden era of wrestling, which is the over-the-top characters and weird storylines. And, you know, there's a bunch of wrestlers involved, and we've been doing it. Awful has been around for about just over a decade, I want to say, about 10 years last year that they hit.
And you've been doing it for like four or five. Yeah.
So about it's 6 years. So... a little over halfway that I've been there, and we've been you know, building a fan base, and we sell out often. And then last year we had the opportunity to perform as part of the ambient entertainment for Eric Andre's 40th birthday in New York City, and that was super fun. We got to do a bunch of matches, and we were sort of like happening where there was a lot of things. Like, the birthday was quite a spectacle. Like, there was a petting zoo, there was naked sushi, there was a ball pit. There were
sushi just never.
No, no, thank you. That doesn't sound appealing to me at all.
Is it just you eat sushi off a naked person?
Yep.
Okay.
Which it's like, who wants to have fish off of someone's body?
Yeah, seriously. Or who wants to lay there and have fish and just pickled ginger laying all over you? In the
really quick sidebar, because I always think there's a scene in the Sex and the City movie where she's like waiting for her husband to get home for like their anniversary or something. And she does that. She hand rolls sushi and she lays it all over her body. And then he doesn't show up. And she's just like sitting. She's just laying there with sushi on her for like hours, and then when he gets home she like freaks out and throws the sushi. And I don't know what it is sometimes in like scenes like that in the movie where the lady is like super, I'm like, I'm envious of how mad they get. I love it. I wish I could throw fucking sushi all over someone's face because I was so upset. But anyway, I always think about that with the naked sushi.
I believe, like, you can, you'll get there one day.
Yeah.
One just, day you're going
to
be really
I'm
mad.
I'm constantly that pissed off. I just have the control not to be throwing.
It's things. Just having all the sushi available at the same time.
It's so never, expensive. That's a trick. Yeah. Why would anybody in this economy? Do that? I can't afford to get that mad. okay, so naked so, sushi.
So naked petting sushi, zoo. Petting zoo, all kinds of stuff. He had 17 impersonators of himself wandering around. That's in so like funny. A powder blue 70s tux. Yeah, it was over the top. So, you know, fast forward to this past January, and we were invited to be part of the True TV Impractical Jokers cruise featuring Eric Andre, also featured Steve-O, Joey Fatone. And Philly's own Snack Time, which is a great band.
Oh, yeah. I love Snack Time. They played at my company party this year, and they played at my ex's sister's wedding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. I'm surprised they're not, like, at my house right now. Like, they...
And here they are.
Here they... Oh, wow. Yay. I love you guys.
Wait, it's really funny, because we had... So, Rachel Peters is also part of All For Wrestling. Mm-hmm. We had her on... only a couple like episodes ago, and she said that her, like, I asked her randomly who is her like childhood crush. We were talking about childhood crushes, and she said Steve-O.
Yeah.
And then like a couple weeks later she met him, and I was like, no freaking way.
Yeah.
That was so crazy. Maybe one day I'll meet with Clay Aiken. I think that was my childhood crush. Wait.
Josh
another
Groban.
Side. Oh my God, no! I could never. If I ever met Josh Groban, they would have to put me in a straitjacket. Just because, like, the childhood me, like, was such a psycho in love with Josh Groban. I cannot explain why. It's because he has a voice of an angel. But right after we talked about the day after. We recorded that episode randomly. Shane O'Connor, without hearing the episode at all, gave me a book that was just like, I'll have to show you. It's like a book of Clay Aiken. Have never said anything to him about Clay Aiken, I swear. And I was like, did you just get this randomly? He was like, yeah, I thought it was really funny. And I was like, what is happening? It's like the season of meeting your crush, or just, I don't know.
Did Clay Aiken run for Congress? Did that happen?
I don't know, that just seems so funny.
Like, that's so funny. I feel like he ran for office or something. Like, I can't
know. I just know that he was on a tour with Ruben Studdard, like, last year.
They were on the same American Idol. Last year? I'm like,
yeah, no. And I was like, what is it called? Sorry for 2000 tour.
Is that what it was called?
No, but it should have been. And I should have been a marketing major.
I was like, oh wow, I'd earnestly believe it was
because, you know, his song was like Sorry for 2004. What was even that song about? Like, what was he really sorry for?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he ran for office. I can't tell you what. Maybe it was like
said,
mayor.
It says he announced that he was going to. I'm trying to see if he did.
Oh, okay. Those are two different things. I mean, yeah. I could be like, I'm running for office.
Couldn't win American Idol or Congress.
Right.
Congress.
Well, maybe me neither.
I'll find where
I just remember when I was a kid, I remember him singing Bridge Over Troubled Water at me just crying in my living room. And I'm like, I love him. I don't know why music just had such a hold over my childhood. All right, so yeah, Steve-O, Joey Fatone.
Yeah, so Awful Wrestling got to go and perform on this cruise ship. from Nassau, I'm sorry, from Miami to Nassau in the Bahamas. And that was, it was wild. It just was a very surreal experience because, you know, we had to bring a wrestling. Oh, so this is funny. Like, so we had to bring a wrestling ring onto the ship. Now we're based in Philly, so we had to go through some serious hoops to rent a wrestling ring, figure out how to get a crane. Cause you know, they can't just like bring a wrestling ring like up into a cruise ship. Like you can just walk it in, like, you know, through the scaffolding to get on. Cause cruise ships are very tall. I don't know. Have you ever been on a cruise? I never was until this.
No, and I have no interest in ever being on a cruise.
Yeah, I mean, don't. No, I'm kidding.
No, I don't really like, my favorite thing in the world is to be on water, but I do not, like, cruises don't even make sense to me, to be honest. Like, well, who came up with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you look that up? Who the, what sick fuck?
Oh, people no. Can't afford a real vacation. Oh, no, I'm kidding. They are actually quite expensive.
I mean, boats are like the most expensive thing. That's why I'm like, who did this?
But here's the craziest thing about the ring. So we managed to find a ring rental company, rented a ring. The Coast Guard managed to get crane to lift this ring and heavy pieces onto the deck. But what is the most insane part of the story is there were already three wrestling rings on this cruise ship because it is the same. It's the Norwegian Pearl, and it is the same cruise ship that Chris Jericho uses for the AEW. There's apparently all these cruises that are themed after things like shows and stuff. I didn't realize this was a thing. I just thought you just went on a cruise.
Yeah, it's just because everybody that would go on a cruise is like autistic for something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and they're like, hey, here's this thing that you love. Get stuck on a
Disney.
Get stuck on a ship.
So many buffets.
Quick sidebar: he lost the primary for North Carolina.
Of what? Oh, that's to be in Congress? Yeah. Oh, okay. I did remember that.
Yeah. So he never actually got to run. He ran in a crowded field.
Wow. To run for the primaries. He still had to raise money and go out and shake hands and kiss babies.
It's surprising because he's famous. Because you don't normally that gets you a lot of points.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he. I don't know who did he align with politically? Did they?
He was a Democrat.
Okay, I mean that tracks. Maybe that's why.
That's interesting.
The South don't love that.
Yeah, and he's gay.
Yeah, and also that doesn't fly.
He couldn't even win American Idol when he was straight still. Almost every person I had a crush on came out as gay, and I'm like, what's up with me? What does that mean?
You're the turnstile to gay for celebrities. You're not gay until you go through me.
Yeah. Okay, so they already had, like, you guys didn't know that they already had?
No, we knew it. They wouldn't, like, I guess.
They wouldn't let you use their.
Yeah, they didn't want us to use their ring for whatever a number of reasons were. Like, we never got specificity. They're like, you just can't use that ring. Jericho doesn't want you using that ring. I was like, Chris Jericho knows who we are and is telling us no. Wow.
that's cool. You're like, say it to my face. I'm a fan.
But we had a ring on the back deck of the ship, like on the, I forget what it's called, the hull, whatever the back of the ship is. So we were outside, which is also wild because it's like to wrestle on in that environment because you're constantly moving. Whoever says you're on a cruise ship, you don't feel the ship moving, they're lying to you. That's an absolute lie. You feel
especially
it.
Especially if you're on like the back or the front, there's more like, I think the more like the center you are, the less you feel it.
Yeah, but even then, like there were some nights, like the two of the nights, it was almost like after we got away from land, about an hour out is when you really felt the sea the most because of all the traffic. Because it's like a plane, you're just in like a loop of many other cruise ships. Because there's a point where you are not like on the open sea. It's not like you're in the middle of the Atlantic. You're on, you know, a route, but you're still on the open water and there's nothing to see, you know, for miles at all, which is unsettling, but also kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
But then you'll see other cruise ships, especially at night, like they'll be lit up and you're like, oh, okay. It doesn't make you feel as like you're out in the middle of the ocean as much. Cause I was terrified. I talked to my therapist. I had to like change gears with my therapist out of left field. And she's like, wait, what? I'm like, so I had this, I was like, so we're going to put a pin in all this other stuff. So I'm really terrified of boats and water. And she's like, okay. And I'm like, so I'm going to have to go on a cruise soon. So we need to like work on that. And she's like, what? And I'm like, I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I'm not, like, afraid to be, like, oh, I don't have any interest. Like, I don't care if people think it's weird that I'm like, I do not have any interest. Like, yeah, it would just make me anxious.
Yeah, and also
You're on a route, but like you got to trust that the boat's going the way that it's supposed to be going. You also have to trust that nothing is going to just randomly happen on the water, mm-hmm. or that nothing is going to randomly happen with the boat.
Mm-hmm. Or on the boat because you're trapped.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's leaving. That's the thing that got me the most is like I hate when I can't get myself home from something. Like I can't. Like, if I have to wait for someone, if I'm like, someone's my ride, I hate that situation because I'm just like, oh, I want to leave. And now I can't leave because I have to wait for someone else to be ready to leave. It's like I hate that so much. And being on a boat is the epitome of that.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now with like, I tried to say to my boss today, I'm like, because I don't have a car anymore and like getting to and from work. And then it's like, I work at the Navy Yard. So there's no, like during the day, there's just no shuttle bus out of there for me to get to the city to get home. So it's like if I wanted to leave at 1 o'clock, I'd have to wait until 4 o'clock, basically. And then she tried to be like, well, it takes me an hour to get to work now. And she's like, well, it takes me 45 minutes. I'm like, yeah, in your car, bitch. Like, that is so different from me taking 2 city buses and then coming to the Navy Yard and being stuck here all day. I have no control. Everybody's trying to leave at the same time. I go out to the bus stop. I'm like the first person there. But then 20 minutes goes by and now there's 50 people there. They're all acting like they've been waiting for the same amount of time as me. Like they don't let everybody on the bus. It's just like it's a nightmare. Oh, I'm stuck. God. I'm stuck at the Navy Yard from like the time that I get there to the time till 5 o'clock. And I'm like, I hate this. It's just there's no way for me to turn off the part of my brain that hates this. Like you're saying, like, I don't even like relying on other people for a ride to get there on time. So it's like, ugh, yeah, cruises. Yeah,
it's nuts.
No way.
But it was a cool experience. I mean, we got to, I mean, that said, all of the terrible things I just said about being
on a cruise. The fact that it was a cruise aside, the cruise was fun.
The fact that it was a cruise, it was kind of fun. No, you know, I got used to it after a while. It was sort of like weird at first, but then after a while I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. Like, you're never hungry on a cruise. Like there's constantly a buffet. There's so much to eat all the time. And there's like tons of buffets. And anything you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, that's what you said. It's just like, if you love buffets, you're going to love the cruise.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like, there are restaurants and things. There was also a casino. There was an arcade, basically a child casino.
That's so crazy. Yeah, that's another thing is you forget how big of a, like you're basically on in a casino or you're like in a casino hotel on the water.
Yeah, you're in a resort essentially on the water. And like, it is big because then you're also high in the air, which I lost fact of because they're very tall. When you're boarding a ship like that, you are basically walking up like 7 stories into the air just to get on the boat. And then you're in the middle of the boat at 7 stories in the air. And then, yeah, when you're on like the deck, like where like the pool is and the bars and all that stuff, like it's you're essentially 13 stories in the air. Well, you're 13 stories up, but half of that is in the water. Because it's really mind-boggling how large a ship is until you're like on it and walking around, but yet how small it feels because you after a few days you're like, all right, there's nowhere else I can go. I've run out of places.
I don't even think about it being that. Yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts, and I can't even believe the amount of props we got on. Like Shaner, Ryan Shaner, who is he plays the vet, and he is one of our best villains. Incredible. I mean, Ryan, we all know Ryan. He's a funny
guy. He's done the podcast.
Yeah, he's been on this. Yeah, Ryan's hilarious, but he's also really good. He's a really good wrestler, too. And he is our biggest villain. And he made a severed golden retriever head because we get down. Like, this gets really weird. You should come if you've never seen an awful wrestling show.
Yeah,
there's one. April the 5th.
Okay, yeah.
So, you should definitely go to Awful Wrestling on Instagram and get your tickets there because it will sell out.
Yeah, they always sell out.
Always sell out, yeah. But it's a good time, and it gets real crazy. And, so the amount of stuff that Ryan can make is bananas. Like, he's an artist, too, and he has a lot of great paintings, but, like, the 3D art that he makes is wild. And he bought, I don't even know how he made the thing. Like, I think he started with, like, a bear head and then fashioned it to look like,
you know,
and it looks
something
like
you have lying around the house.
But then he got that. Yeah. I, you know, you don't have a bear head lying around a taxidermed animal's closet. But then not only did he fly with it, but then on the boat, because like the boat is basically going to another airport because you're it's almost like going to an international airport because you're going through metal detectors and you're getting your stuff scanned again, but then you're also going through customs.
Here's sidebar real quick. I actually ran into Dan and Shainer when I got off. I was heading back from Jacksonville and landed in the airport and ran into them heading down to Florida. And it was really funny because I was on the phone bitching like a bitch because I had the worst flight home. I really try not to get in fights in the airport or on the plane, but I didn't get in a fight. But I had to really, like, the guy next to me was nonstop trying to talk to me. I was texting Drew in the group chat about this. This guy was awful.
He was, like, sticking it up.
He did like his hour of material on the flight, and it really was only like a 2-hour flight. So it's shocking that someone could get under my skin that much. When we landed the plane, he said to the woman in front of him, he just was trying to talk to everybody. And then he kept doing this thing where he was cursing really loud. He was telling all these, he tried to talk to me and I literally was not even looking in his direction because he was awful. And then he turned around and got the ear of the people behind me and then just talked for the rest of the flight to them. And I could obviously hear him even with my headphones on. I had my hat over top of my sound canceling headphones and literally my jacket around my fucking head like this. It couldn't have been more obvious that I was not trying to listen to this guy. We land the plane. He says to the lady in front of him, he's like, you know, pretty good flight, right? You know, you were snoring a little bit, but I'll give you a break. It's like, leave this poor woman alone. Then I'm standing and waiting to get off the plane. And he says to me, he's like, he says something to me. And I was like, listen, dude, I don't want to talk to you. I have my headphones in. And then he turns around, he starts talking about how I'm like bitchy to the people behind me. And I'm like, you're so lucky that I really want to go home. Cause otherwise I would just snap and I would just beat the shit out of you right now.
I'm going to fight someone on this plane.
Can you imagine if I went viral for just beating the living shit out of a big fat white dude on the plane? Like,
he'd be my hero. This motherfucker is not real, girl.
Yeah, dude, I would just disappear myself for the satisfaction of just beating the shit out of the most annoying person I've ever met in my entire life.
Who does that? It never ceases to amaze me how many people in this world just think that everyone wants to be like that. They're, you know, like what does the kid say? The main character energy. Like,
oh yeah,
just, like,
it was.
We're living in,
like,
their movie.
Yeah, it was fully like we all paid to be there to listen to him. And the thing he kept doing that was really like. Made that part obvious was that he was cursing a lot really loud in his storytelling to the people behind him. And then when he would curse, he would go, oh, sorry, 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 sorry. Pardon my French. And I was just like, ugh. So you are aware that everybody can hear you and that you're being obnoxious and that you're cursing like a maniac and you're being completely tired. He also there's no one in his row. And he laid down, like took his shoes off and laid down like with his feet, like in the seat next to me, basically across the aisle. And I was like, you know, on the plane, like they tell you to like put your seatbelt on even when the light's not on. If you're just sitting in your seat, I was shocked that somebody could just lay out on it. Like they're in the back of their mom's minivan, like that they wouldn't tell them like, hey, you know, you can like obviously be in the other seats a little bit because there's no one next to you, but you can't be full on. It was an old man. Like if we had hit any turbulence and he was sleeping, he would have been flung around the seats and hit his head. Like what is the.
Well, I think that answers your question right there. I think it's a 2-part answer.
I was like hoping for some turbulence.
Yes, sir. Please God, like, call this child out. Home. And I also feel like the flight attendants were probably like all weighing out the pros and cons of like engaging this man in conversation or like fixing
too.
It. I know I'd be like, fuck him. Let God call this one home.
Yeah, anyway, it was just funny because when I was walking through the airport, I was just like, you know, when you just feel super anonymous and then I run into Dan and Ryan and they're like, hey, we're heading out. You're heading. You just got back. And I was just like, I'm going to kill somebody. And then
blood.
They're like, okay, well, you know, get home safe.
Which airline was this?
I don't know because I was back and forth to Florida and then I was back and forth to.
Like feels like a Spirit of Frontier experience.
I honestly think that I was on American that flight, but it's like.
Oh, damn. That always sucks when it's like the better flight or arguably when it's supposed to be the better flight.
Also, like, it's just like at that point, it's like I had that was my second flight. I had a layover and then.
To Florida?
Well, it's just because it was like the cheap. It was just, I'm poor.
Like, no, fair enough. I'm just surprised that any flight would lay over between here and Florida. But I guess if it was another connecting
flight. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could have gotten a direct flight. It would have been 2 hours, but I can't afford that. So subscribe to the Patreon.
Subscribe to the Patreon so Sarah can fly.
Honestly, just send me money. I'm going to kill somebody. My whole attitude is really shitty because of not having a car anymore. And like, today I did say something to my boss, which I had like a mental breakdown on Thursday at a show, and I started screaming. It was actually funny. And then people were coming up to me afterwards.
Like at the audience?
That was my favorite set you ever did. Ugh. And I was like, oh, wow. It's just so hilarious to watch white women lose their minds. It's the most entertaining thing anybody, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when everyone reveres Britney for shaving her head. And it's like, you realize it's because she was being stalked by the press and lost her mind.
I know. I always post that picture as me of her with her chain. I'm like, this is not the picture of me.
Like, I've been telegraphing this set for a long time.
But it was funny. I mean, like, I was being funny about like freaking out, but I basically was like, anytime it's funny, like when you talk to somebody and I'm like, I literally was telling somebody, I was like, I'm going to rage quit my job on Monday. And then they were like giving me advice not to do it. And I'm like, I didn't ask you. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I didn't ask you for advice. And who the fuck do you think you are? Like, unsolicited advice to me is like, I literally cut someone off and I was like, listen, I didn't ask. Like, somebody after the show was giving me advice about work stuff and I was like, I didn't ask. And I know I'm being cunty about it, but I'm like, I can't sit here and listen to somebody who knows literally half of a fraction of a percent about what has gone on in my life and just watched me say that I want to quit my job and then try to give me advice on what to do. I know that the blanketed advice is don't quit your job. But what if I told you I was being like harassed at my job? Would your advice be exactly that? Like, it's like without any context of what's going on at my job, you shouldn't give advice. But I was like, I wanted to rage quit today. And I dialed it back to just telling my boss, like, you know, these are my issues. And if you can't meet these needs, I got to look elsewhere. Like, I'm not as crazy as people think I am because I talk hyperbolically about what I want to do to get it out of my system. And then I do the responsible thing. But everyone was like, don't quit your job. I'm like, I want to stab my coworkers. So actually quitting my job is like really fucking mature. Right?
It's like the best thing I could do. It's like that,
I
want to
burn
homicide.
The building down and all I'm doing is leaving an hour early. That's pretty like, you know, whatever. The guy I'm seeing was like, I'm going to teach you how to be more diplomatic. And I'm like, I'm going to teach you what it feels like to get your heart broken. Get the fuck out of my fucking face.
And I'm going to teach you how to deal with a breakup. I hate when people don't. Not everyone needs is just because someone's telling you something doesn't mean they want your advice.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
I specifically don't want
comedy show.
Anyone's
like, that's the last time I want anyone's advice is.
from an open micer that doesn't like their job either. Do I want advice? Like, I'm like, no, thank you. And I'm not trying to say anything again. I'm sure there's open micers that have been CEOs of companies or some shit like that. Everybody wants to do comedy now. It's disgusting. Why? It's miserable. Don't do comedy. It's ruined my life, but I'm addicted. I give people the same advice about smoking cigarettes. I'm like, don't start smoking cigarettes when you're in your 20s, because you're gonna want to quit when you're in your 30s, and you're not gonna be able to do it. It's like, don't do comedy when you're 25. Just start crocheting or something. Relaxing.
Just start relaxing because you're never like gonna
more,
do it again.
Yeah, it's more.
I mean, it's easy. Comedy is really easy to get into that infinite loop of. Doing comedy. Yeah. I mean, of just, which is a very, speaking of, talk about hyperbolic. I mean, I stopped doing stand up in earnest, or at least at the level that I was doing it for a while. I mean, well, there was, the 2 years that we all lost, but then I took a conscious year off. You know, I couldn't just be like, well, the pandemic, that's my break. And it's like, no, that was.
You
it's not the same as
like
if you're
not
choosing
wanting
it.
To do it as much before the pandemic hit.
I was already kind of, because in December of 2019, I had turned 40 years old and I was already having an existential crisis sort of about what I was even doing. Because at that point I was doing stand up for like 7-8 years. And before that I was writing sketch for like 13 years and just sort of chasing my tail. And also like, watching my youth just slowly disappear. Meanwhile, every year there's like a new batch of like young comics coming out of the woodwork. And you're just like, I remember once a comic got on stage and he was 21 years old. And the first thing I thought was like, God, that's the same age as my cat. And how long have I been doing this? Like, how much longer am I going to keep? I'm the only one here my age. And, you know, I got real self-conscious about it. And I was just having a lot of, like, you know, stuff going on in my mind. And I was already busy. 2019 was a really wild year for me. Like, I was running Tattooed Momedy at the time.
Yeah.
We'd put together a one and only comedy festival on South Street, Wiz City. I was helping out at Fergie's. Plus, I was part of Laughs on Philly at the same time. Like, I was busy all the time. And I was, like, really, and I, you know, I was really burned out on comedy because I was constantly running something at something. But then I was also trying to get tapes and headshots and travel and spending all this money on festivals. And it can really wears you down. it becomes this exhausting, you know, loop. And then, but then you feel like if you stop, then you can never do it again. And, or you like, you feel like you're giving up on all that stuff. But like, the truth is like, sometimes a break is nice. Like now when I do stand up and when I go and do things, like I enjoy it again, which is nice. Like it feels like when I started where I'm like, not really caring about where it's taking me. It's just kind of fun to hang out with my friends and tell jokes and have some beers. And I'm like, oh, you want to give me $20 to do this? Oh, that's neat. Okay, bye. And you know, and that's the end of it. And I go back to my life. And what's also funny is like, you know, I kept Awful, even though I wasn't doing stand up like for a year. Well, I guess three if you count all of it. But I always held on to Awful. And that's the thing that started kind of taking me to opportunities, like getting to work for Eric Andre and being part of these cool opportunities. And it's just amazing how that stuff, like, you know, I've gotten to do a lot of things that I've always wanted to do, which just never worked out the way I thought it was going to. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I like miss, like, yeah, I kind of think, I mean, part of it is like that I do a lot of stuff on my own now. Cause it's like, I don't have the same group of friends that I had before the pandemic. And like a lot of my friends like have started doing it at a higher level or quit doing it altogether. So it's like, it's not as many people like, oh, let's just go to an open mic tonight because I had this goofy thing I wanted to say to my friends. And like, I do kind of miss that a lot because I didn't have any, like, it's weird to me seeing all these young people come in and like, they're like 6 months in and they already know that they like want to do this forever. And they like have like, no, a special recorded and whatever. And I'm like, it took me like 4 years to just even think that I was doing it at all, even though I was doing a lot of, like, when I look back, I'm like, I guess I was doing a lot of stuff in the first few years. Just didn't have any like goals or feelings about it. It's like I would just do stuff if someone asked me to do it, and then I never was having to like, yeah, it wasn't like, oh, headshots and a tape and a this and like taking it super seriously right away. And like, maybe I should have, but
I mean, I do even
like that time. I think that I've told a couple of like open micers too, I'm like, you might not make it, or you will. And like, if you just try to cut out this first couple of years, that's like the most fun you're going to have, whether you make it or not. And if you don't make it and you don't ever have fun, then you really are just like kind of spinning. Yeah. Like you're kind of wasting your time because the least you could do is look back and be like, okay, I spent 8 years hanging out with my friends and having fun. That was great.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah. It's like, if you don't do that part where you're trying to have fun some of the time, then you're going to be like super bitter because 90% of the people or more than that are like not even going to get to have a weekend at a club.
And I would even say that saying some of you won't make it is generous. I would say most of you are not going to make, like, and making it is,
yeah, whatever making, you know, it, whatever means making to people, it means, though,
cause that is different but I mean, everyone. I think what everyone associates, and I'm generalizing, and if you can come talk to me about it, I guess if you have a problem with that, but I'll say that, like, you know, I think a lot of people associate making it with being like Netflix specials or maybe getting on a TV series or fame. A lot of people equate fame and followers as success. And that's really not the truth at all. Cause you can be very successful
with comedy. Like I work with every other guy that I work with. I've never heard of them.
Like, go back into.
I'm booked for the show, and then I look them up, and they're, you know, they have a successful podcast. They've been on TV. They are touring, headlining comedian, and I just never even heard their name even being in comedy.
Yeah.
So there's lots of people that are like, they're just famous enough that they can. Oh no! What? How did that? Why did that turn off?
Oh no, the camera went off. Oh, and it's putting itself away.
It's really weird though, because it's plugged in. So
oh, that's
it shouldn't be turning off at all. All right, well, that's okay. We can, like, we can honestly wrap up in a minute, because it's probably been like 40, 45. Okay.
Yeah,
let's just kind of wrap it up. I don't, I mean, I genuinely, you know, if I sound kind of pissy, I am.
we sidebar from the dog head
to me talking, complaining. I'm sorry.
Well, to learn more about the severed dog head, you should definitely come to Philomoka on April the 5th. That's also WrestleMania weekend, so it is going to be a big ta-da. It's going to be a real crazy event. I'm very excited about it already, and we've just barely started planning it. But April the 5th, Philomoka, Awful Wrestling. You can just find us on Insta and get tickets right there.
Hell yeah. And then for me, please check out my Instagram and buy tickets to the show that I'm doing on March 16th, 2 shows, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock at the Philadelphia Barbaco in Kensington. And if you go to my Instagram, there'll be a link in the bio to buy tickets. Please buy tickets, because I always talk shit. And if no one comes to my show, I'm going to cry.
Talk shit on you.
I'm going to cry. This isn't me. This isn't the real me telling you, trying to bully you into buying tickets, telling you that I'm sad. But
I'm bullying you to buy tickets. Buy the tickets.
It's a really good show. It's me, Naeem, Ali, and Foster, and Shane O'Connor, and my boys. Me and all the boys. Check out my shows. And subscribe to the Patreon. Or don't.
Definitely do. No more connecting flights to Florida.
I gotta get my life together. All right. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Follow Michael Kelly. He's great. He's back in the scene. We love it. We love to see it.
You wanna follow me? I'm at Michael K. Sure, why not? On Instagram. And that's
it. We love that. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.
Bye.